I've seen it. Not long ago in Moscow, on quite another mission, I tiptoed up the great empty staircase, and with a diplomatic passport in my pocket, stood in the eternal dusk that shrouds old ballrooms when they are asleep. With its plump brown pillars and gilded mirrors, it was better suited to the last hours of a sinking liner than the launch of a great initiative. On the ceiling, snarling Russians in proletarian caps shook their fists at Lenin. Their vigor contrasted unhelpfully with the chipped green racks of sound cassettes along the walls, featuring Winnie the Pooh and Advanced Computer English in 3 hours. The sackcloth sound booths, locally procured and lacking many of their promised features, had the sadness of deck chairs on a rainy beach. The exhibitors' stands, crammed under the shadow of an overhanging gallery, seemed as blasphemous as betting shops in a tabernacle. Nevertheless, a fair of sorts had taken place. People had come, as Moscow people do, provided they have the documents and status to satisfy the hard-eyed boys in leather jackets at the door, out of politeness, out of curiosity, to talk to Westerners, because it is there. And now, on the fifth and final evening, the great farewell cocktail party of exhibitors and invited guests was getting into its stride. A handful of the small nomenclatura of the Soviet cultural bureaucracy was gathering under the chandelier, the ladies in their beehive hairstyles and flowered frocks designed for slenderer frames, the gentlemen slimmed by the shiny French tailored suits that signified access to the special clothing stores. Only their British hosts, in despondent shades of grey, observed the monotone of socialist austerity. The hubbub rose. A brigade of pinafored governesses distributed the curling salami sandwiches and warm white wine. A senior British diplomat, who was not quite the ambassador, shook the better hands and said he was delighted. Only Nicky Landau among them had withheld himself from the celebrations. He was stooped over the table in his empty stand, totting up his last orders and checking his dockets against expenses. For it was a maxim of Landau's never to go out and play until he had wrapped up his day's business. And in the corner of his eye, an anxious blue blur was all that she amounted to, this Soviet woman he was deliberately ignoring. Trouble, he was thinking as he labored. A void. The air of festivity had not communicated itself to Landau, festive by temperament though he was. For one thing, he had a lifelong aversion to British officialdom, ever since his father had been forcibly returned to Poland. The British themselves, he told me later, he would hear no wrong of them. He was one of them by adoption, and he had the poker-backed reverence of the convert. But the Foreign Office flunkies were another matter, and the loftier they were, and the more they twitched and smirked and raised their stupid eyebrows at him, the more he hated them and thought about his dad. For another thing, if he had been left to himself, he would never have come to the audio fair in the first place. He'd have been tucked up in Brighton with a nice new little friend he had, called Lydia, in a nice little private hotel he knew, for taking little friends. "Better to keep our powder dry till the Moscow Book Fair in September," Landau had advised his clients at their headquarters on the Western Bypass. "The Ruskies love a book, you see, Bernard, but the audio market scares them and they aren't geared for it. Go in with the book fair, we'll clean up. Go in with the audio fair, we are dead." But Landau's clients were young and rich and did not believe in death. "Nicky boy," said Bernard, walking round behind him and putting a hand on his shoulder, which Landau didn't like. "In the world today, we've got to show the flag. We're patriots, see, Nicky? Like you. That's why we're an offshore company. With the Glasnost today, the Soviet Union, it's the Mount Everest of the recording business. And you're going to put us on top, Nicky. Because if you're not, we'll find somebody who will. Somebody younger, Nicky, right? Somebody with the drive and the class." The drive Landau had still. But the class, as he himself was the first to tell you, the class, forget it. He was a card. That's what he liked to be. A pushy, short-arsed Polish card and proud of it. He was old Nick, the cheeky chappy of the eastward-facing reps, capable, he liked to boast, of selling filthy pictures to a Georgian convent, or hair tonic to a Romanian billiard ball. He was Landau, the undersized bedroom athlete, who wore raised heels to give his Slav body the English scale he admired, and ritzy suits that whistled, "Here I am." When old